Well, I have stood up here before, but I have to say today is totally different. It was Friday evening that I got the call that Neil was staying in the hospital. And while, you know, I have to thank him for getting me out of that laborious work day that so many men participated in, it was a lot of time cramming. And I was sitting back there during the worship portion of our service. Well, it's all worship. And all of a sudden, you know, my notes are generally a formality. You do notes because everybody does notes. But they usually just sit here and I wander all over up here and I talk. And this morning we were singing and all of a sudden it struck me, I can't remember a word that's on that page. So you may see me here a little more. I may be reading a little more. You'll have to excuse me. I beg your pardon. But it is also different. The last time I spoke when Neil was in the hospital, there was a much heavier feeling among all of us. I mean, it was tough. It was tough to say anything. Praise God, today is not like that. I'm filling in for Neil while he's in the hospital, but he is in no discomfort. He's in good spirits. Everything seems to be going well. Neil has suffered no near-death experiences, and the doctors appear to have everything well in hand. And since us gathering today, there's not that dark cloud hanging over us, I've decided to hit a target of opportunity. Today, we are going to talk about the heart. If I had even mentioned the word heart last time, everybody would have started crying. We would have got nowhere. But today, I feel we can get away with it. We can talk about the heart. Now, through Neil's experiences, I'm learning a lot more about the heart muscle in the human body. And I thought this would be a very convenient time to compare the heart organ to the spiritual heart. And in the process, we can make an effort to determine our own heart health. The first thing we need to do is define the word heart. In a physical sense, the heart is a muscle about the size of your fist. And its job is to pump blood throughout your body. The blood pumped by the heart is the vehicle used to carry vital nutrients throughout your body. In other words, the heart, that muscle about the size of your fist, is the engine of your body. Just like your engine of your car, if it stops, in a very short time, so will everything else. Now, the Bible uses the word heart in several different ways, but today we're going to look at one particular way, and it's the Greek word cardia. It's where we get our word cardio, meaning heart. The word cardia is translated heart is often used figuratively to describe the thoughts of the mind or the spiritual core of a person. In other words, the heart of a person is who they truly are. So today what we're going to do is we're going to attempt to answer a few questions. First question is, how's your heart health? Number two, how do you know? And number three, what can be done to improve our heart health? So spiritually speaking, how is your heart health? I am unable to see or judge the heart. So I'm unable to answer that question, but God has provided some insight into our heart. Genesis 6:5 states, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Now, according to my understanding of those verses, we all have a severe heart disease. Now, of course, the Genesis passage goes on and Noah finds favor with God. And Jeremiah says that God searches the heart and gives each man what he deserves. That tells me there are different degrees of spiritual heart disease, just like there are different degrees of physical heart disease. I had a friend from high school who his heart was in such bad shape he needed a heart transplant. His heart wouldn't function anymore. And then we have all kinds of lesser degrees of heart disease that maybe can be controlled through medication and exercise. So there's all different levels of heart disease, and it's the same with spiritual heart disease. As I look out at this fine-looking crowd, I see that, in my opinion, there are many people that are much healthier than myself. So I do believe that there are different degrees of spiritual heart health, but we have to be careful not to let that be a cop-out. Oftentimes when we hear that there's different degrees, we fall into the trap of what I have heard described as relative righteousness. Simply explained, relative righteousness is when you go, well, yeah, I know the Bible's right, my heart's evil, but I'm not as bad as old so-and-so. Or, yeah, I know, I'm a sinner, but I'm doing better than most of the people claiming to be a Christian. We have to be careful not to do that. Because what we like to do is we like to bury our head in the sand and deny that we have a problem. My wife asked me the other day, she said, how do you know you're healthy? I'm healthy. Well, how do you know? Well, I don't really know. She said, well, you never go to the doctor. I don't. But I did go for my knee, and I said, well, they checked my blood pressure, and it was good. And my pulse was good, and I feel fine, so I must be healthy. And she said, well, what about your cholesterol? Cholesterol, easy for me to say. I'm like, I don't know. So maybe you aren't too sick. But the question is, how do you know? How do you know? When you visit the hospital with suspected heart trouble, there are certain tests the medical staff will use to determine the health of your heart. Visiting Neil in the hospital, I've heard some of these names of tests. I've heard things like blood test, EKG, chest X-ray, CAT scan, echocardiogram, and heart cath. And even if I have no idea what those words mean, I know they are the appropriate test to determine one's heart health. At no time while visiting Neil in the hospital did I hear things like hearing test, vision test, praise God, IQ test, or math test. Why didn't I hear these things? Well, because as effective as those tests are for measuring some things, they're useless when it comes to measuring heart health. We would never go to a cardiologist and allow them to administer a hearing test and clear us after chest pains. But yet sometimes we'll use the wrong test in determining our spiritual heart health. Looking at Mark 7, 14 through 23, we're going to hear what Jesus says about the right and wrong test to measure your spiritual heart health. After he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him, but the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If anyone has ears, let him hear. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable, and he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand whatever goes into the man from the outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated. Thus, he declared all foods clean. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Oftentimes, when we're trying to determine how we're doing spiritually, maybe someone asks us, we quickly rattle off the deeds we've done, the places we've gone, the things we've avoided, and that's how we base our answer. And the temptation is that's the way we measure our spiritual health, based on what we do or don't do, or the places we go and don't go. And the problem with that is it's actually addressing the symptoms, not the problem. It would be the equivalent of you going to the hospital with chest pains and shortness of breath, and the doctor prescribing pain medication and an inhaler and sending you home. That might work if you're suffering from asthma, but it's not going to do anything if you've got a heart problem. Except maybe kill you. Likewise, if we measure our heart health by what's on the outside, we fail to address the real issue. Looking at Mark 7, 1 through 4, just a few verses before what we just read, we see the reason Jesus was explaining the difference between the inside and the outside. The Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. The Pharisees were complaining about the disciples' unclean hand. You see, this passage explains to us that unless a Jew washes his hands in the right way, he doesn't eat. And if he goes to the marketplace, presumably where the sin and the sinners are, he has to wash his whole body before he eats, or else what he's eating is unclean. Now, we have to be very careful not to fall into the same trap as the Pharisees. See, they were very, very disciplined to follow the rules. And they always maintained the appearance of holiness. But the whole time, they were corrupt on the inside. When Jesus explained in verse 18 that nothing goes into a man from the outside can defile him, there is the obvious understanding that Mark gives us that Jesus was declaring all foods clean. But I believe it goes further than that. In addition to declaring all foods clean, Jesus was also explaining that the sinful people, places, and things we come in contact with do not corrupt us on the inside. Regardless of how much we quarantine ourselves from the world, we still have the spiritual heart disease we started with. The Pharisees were not complaining about the food the disciples were eating. They didn't just order a ham sandwich. Okay? It wasn't unclean food. They were specifically complaining about the hands. The hands were unclean because they had come in contact with sin and they couldn't eat. They were worried about the outside. But Jesus explained that from the heart, which as we learned earlier is the core of man, comes evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Wow, that's quite a list. So if it doesn't come from the outside, how did it get there? The answer can be illustrated in something Dee said the other night about Neil. She said, he looks like his mama, but he got his daddy's innards. She said that because Neil's father also suffered from heart condition that apparently Neil has inherited. And even though he doesn't look like his dad, on the inside, he got his dad's heart disease. Romans 5:12 tells us, through one man sin entered the world. So just like Neil inherited his heart condition from his dad, we inherited our heart disease from our father as well. We know this is true, that it was inherited, because no one had to teach us to sin. I did not learn to sin by watching television and movies, or listening to the wrong music, or by watching my friends. And no, I didn't even learn it by watching you, Dad. No, that's not where I learned to sin. The heart of this man standing before you today has been evil from the start because I inherited that evil. And it was there naturally. That's my heart. I was born with an inherited heart disease. So the question is, what do we do about this hereditary heart disease? When doctors discover a disease in the heart, they prescribe a regimen to help battle the disease and prolong the life of the organ. There would be very little point in discovering a problem if there was no solution. So doctors first treat the immediate problem, and then they prescribe medicine to be taken in conjunction with a strict diet and exercise. In some ways, the spiritual heart is similar. In some ways, it's easier to treat, and in other ways, much more difficult. You see, when there's a physical problem, the remedy largely relies on the discipline and effort of the patient. Praise God, the treatment of spiritual heart disease relies much more on the physician than the patient. Ephesians 2:10 states, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." We're his workmanship. He's doing the work. He's making us who we are. So we can do good work. We can produce good work that reflects him. Sure sounds better than that other list we read about earlier, doesn't it? And Romans 5:5 says, you know, here's how he does it. This is so cool. I actually had an illustration I'll describe to you in a minute. Romans 5:5 says, "The love of God has been poured out within our hearts," and that's the same word, hearts, "through the Holy Spirit who is given to us." Very literally, when we allow God to make us new, he pours into our hearts his love and it displaces the evil. Now, I had this jar and I put all kinds of stuff that floated in it, but it was in an empty jar. And then I poured water in and the stuff floated out. And I was going to do that up here, and every time I practiced it, it was a huge mess. And I said, you guys are just going to have to visualize. But picture your heart like a jar full of all these evil things. And when we allow Christ to change us, to make us new, he literally pours, dumps from a pitcher that's much bigger than that jar, his love in, and the sin that was naturally there gets displaced. That's how he does it. That initially happens at the point of our salvation, but it can't end there. A heart patient is given exercise and medication, all these things they have to do over and over and over, for oftentimes the rest of their life. A heart patient can't expect to take one pill, go to the gym one time, eat one healthy meal, and think he's good to go for the rest of his life. It doesn't work that way. Well, spiritual heart disease is treated very similarly. You can't just accept Christ and he pours his love into you one time and you're good, you're set. Not at all. Heart disease, spiritual heart disease, is cured through a lifelong process of submission to the Holy Spirit. Now, we are all familiar with Galatians 5, the passage about the fruits of the Spirit, but I believe it's worth repeating. So I'm going to start reading in verse 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger." Sounds like a pretty familiar list, doesn't it? "Disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you. Just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We live by the Spirit. Let us also walk by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is very literally being guided. Being in total submission and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide your thoughts, your speech, your walk. Everything about you is guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, as easy as that sounds, it's unfortunately very difficult to practice. See, as humans, we have this pride problem. We saw that it's innate in our heart. It's there from birth. And that makes it very difficult for us to submit to the will of another, even if that will is God's will. At a recent visit to the juvenile detention center, there was a young man who got a little unruly, and he had to be taken to his room. Now, it started off, the officers told him with words, "Go to your room," but he refused. So then the officers were gently guiding him towards his room when things escalated, and he started pitching a fit. And of course, the officers had to increase the amount of force necessary to get him to his room. And he was fighting and he was squirming. And it got to the point where one officer had him and was pulling, and he's clutching the door and the door frame going out of the room. And a second officer had to come and pry his fingers off the door. And then they literally wrestled him to his room and put him in there. And as I was witnessing this spectacle, I thought, I bet that's what I look like to God. He gently tells me to walk by his Spirit, and yet I insist on clinging to my ways, to my pride, to my comfort, and I won't let go. Now, the reason this young man was being moved to his room was for his own good. There was a fight about to break out between him and another young man. And if I was a betting man, I would have laid odds on the other kid. The officers were literally protecting this young man from his own foolishness. And that's what God wants to do with us. When we'll let go of all that stuff that's packing our heart and let him refill it with something better. Every day, a heart patient has to get up and decide, am I going to exercise today? Am I going to take my meds today? Am I going to eat right today? Spiritual heart patients have to do the same thing. Every morning, we have to get up and we have to decide, am I going to study the Word? Am I going to humble myself before God? Am I going to submit to Him in prayer? Am I going to allow His Spirit to guide me and produce good fruit from me instead of what I'll produce on my own? Now, when we do that, I believe we will be very happy with the results. Because Philippians 1:6 promises us that He who began the work in us will finish it. Now, it takes discipline on our part, but it's not our work. It's not like hitting that treadmill every day for 30 minutes. That's miserable. This is literally just stopping. Stop clinging to the door. Stop clinging to our comfort. Stop clinging to our pride and allow Him to do His work. Listen to the prompting. We all have that small voice in our ear that tells us, compels us to produce good. Because He's already doing the work in us. It's a matter of letting go of ourselves, or as the Word puts it, dying to ourselves and allowing Him to do His work. Let us be His workmanship. And then, through that lifelong process, I believe that is the only way we will have our spiritual heart disease healed, is by the work of Him. I've asked Rory to come up and lead us in a song. It's a response. My desire is specifically for myself, that this song will not just be a song or words. It will be my prayer and my desire. And I hope the same thing for you. At the conclusion of the song, please don't forget to see the Gideons after the service.
Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit within me.
Restore unto me.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit within me.
Dear Lord, let that be our continuous prayer. Draw us closer to you each and every day. Teach us to be 100% dependent on you, to complete the work that you have begun in us, to give us a clean, a pure, and a healthy heart. All these things I ask in Jesus' precious name.